Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Mr. Plankton, episodes 9 and 10. We wind down our journey with Hedjo and Jamie with one last ride across the countryside. This drama had us laughing and crying, and while it wasn't a happy ending, it couldn't have ended better. Let's dive in. Good morning, Juliet. Happy New Year.
2025.
I don't feel that excited about 2025, but here we are.
You don't? Talk to me.
I think it was just a rocky ending to 2024 that really didn't set me up right. And I think Mercury is in retrograde.
Is
for
it?
Me. Yeah. So I think it goes through mid-Jan. So I'm not like feeling the good vibes yet, but I will.
I will on January 7th when my children are finally back in school.
Yes, that's also another milestone marker to happiness.
Okay, so we haven't seen each other in practically 3 weeks.
It's been a minute.
I know you're like frothing at the mouth to tell me everything.
I have been writing like bullets in my notes.
Oh my God.
On my iPhone app because I'm just like, I have to tell this to Juliet. This is another thing I have to talk to Juliet about. But again, it was like just a rocky end of year. My dad had major open heart surgery.
Right.
We were in a big car accident. Ugh. I've had my in-laws here. You know, it's been
that's
something.
A lot.
Yeah.
I texted about recording at my house because you said, I have a house full of Koreans. And I was like, well, you're coming from one house full of Koreans to another house full of Koreans because everyone in my house is still here.
Net, net, I still beat you because I have six over there.
Plus two halfies.
Okay, no, so I have five. Four plus two halfies. Makes a five. My in-laws have been lovely.
But, you know, let's admit, that's a lot of time to be spending with your in-laws. And similarly, my husband, we go to my parents' house typically for the holidays, and I'm just loving it. I just have a ball. Love being at my parents' house. He every day is like, it's only been one night. It's only been 3 days.
Yeah, you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're still here. I was like, no. My mother-in-law normally... They've been here since mid-December. I'd say normally she would be here till mid-Jan. But this time she's going off to hang out in Mexico with some friends and then going to LA. So this trip actually is truncated. And yet still for you, you're like, I can't believe they're still here.
I know. Well, she's probably had enough of you guys too. So
Truly.
She's cut her trip short.
We did do the Korean New Year's though.
You did?
Yes.
But is this the first time you guys have done this?
We've done the bowing, and we always do the dakguk, which is the...
Rice cake soup.
Yeah, which is your traditional meal on New Year's Day. But she brought them hanboks from Korea.
She did.
Yeah, they're very pretty.
So. Oh, the hanboks in Korea right now, too, are just beautiful colors, like really pastel. And the shape is really nice. Back in my day, it was always bright red and bright yellow. And maybe that was... cool then, but now they've gotten very classy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice. Did the girls like it?
Oh my God, they loved it. And then there's a show that's on Prime right now or Kokoa called Lady Oak. It's like a historical drama that my father-in-law has been watching. Another thing I have really been caught up on is all the dramas that they're watching in Korea because my father-in-law is watching them every night. But there's one called Lady Oak. And it's the woman from Glory, the mean woman from Glory.
Oh.
She is playing, you know, like an old-timey woman in the Joseon
old-timey
era.
Old-timey, yes, right.
I don't know how to explain it. But she's definitely wearing all that garb. And so it felt like I had a bunch of Lady Oaks running around. It was cute. They really liked it. How about you guys?
We did the bowing thing. We had dokguk for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then shuttled the entire family over to my in-laws for dakguk for lunch.
Oh my God.
I have gained a lot of weight in the last 2 weeks just stuffing my face. And then...
Well, dakguk though, it expands.
It expands.
It gets in your belly and then it just goes like huge.
Yeah, you're telling me. And then we had to drive back home.
Oh, up here.
6 hours. Uh-huh. Actually, it was the shortest trip we've gone from LA to the Bay Area. But because there were no cars on the road, but I didn't even eat dinner.
Well, yeah.
It was a lot
of food.
You're
still digesting it.
Yes.
Days later.
Yes.
It's still in there.
So we got to backtrack to Christmas.
Yeah. So the week before Christmas, I had to go down to LA. My dad, last minute, it wasn't emergency, but he had open heart surgery. I'm going to say, if you're going to have open heart surgery, you should definitely do it at UCLA Medical Center. Like, get there. Just get there. It's like the Ritz.
Really?
It's just super nice. It's really clean. I mean, the surgeons are like world class, but yeah. Really the highlight is their cafeteria. 4 stars on Yelp.
What? Did they have prime rib?
They sure did.
Oh my gosh.
I think
really?
It was like a pre-Christmas meal. So it was very special, but they had a velvet rope lined up and people were waiting in line.
Oh my gosh. And is this a hospital staff or are these patients? Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Then you know it's good.
There's so many people. Yes. Like this whole medical center is just buildings after buildings. And so they all come over here to eat. They do have a different cake every day. And I was there for 5 days.
What?
And so I just had different cake every day. So talking about gaining weight, I gained cafeteria cake weight.
Ugh.
Carrot cake.
You're like, Dad, I think you need to be here a few more days. You don't look good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I haven't really tried. They told me it's cheesecake tomorrow and I haven't tried it yet. So if we could just like stay one more day. My dad is fine. He's out of the hospital. Right. I don't have to eat cake every day anymore. It was like the first time I've done the big hospital thing, right? Yeah. I think we are all very lucky.
We're all creeping into it. Mm-hmm. I think this is about the time when we're getting to an age where our parents are starting to get sick.
Yeah, or needing these repairs, right? Yeah. Like my dad is 75 this year.
Wow.
So that's going to be a whole different stage of life. Yeah, so that was like my pre-Christmas. I get back a few days before Christmas and it's like the 23rd and I'm trying to like inventory all my gifts. And I realize that I'm a little short, like the stockings. I don't have stocking stuffers, that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, let's just go to Target. So just me and my husband go to Target. Mm. And then a 4-way stop sign, I look to my right and I can see truck.
Wait, truck of doom.
Truck of doom.
Oh my God.
Felt like I was in a drama.
Yeah, like which lover is coming after me?
Who wants to kill me? Which Chibble mom wants
to kill me? My mother-in-law who has called this truck.
It was really scary. Like you definitely see it come at you.
Oh my God, that is very scary.
It wasn't a dumb truck like they see in the dramas. It was like a Nissan Titan kind of truck, you know?
Oh, so just like a resident, I mean, it's...
Just like a regular person's
personal truck.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I thought it was some kind of like 16-wheeler.
Oh, we would have been done. Yeah. For sure.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he just like ran the stop sign. Yeah. So that was like all the lead up to Christmas.
Right.
It wasn't like happy times. Right. And then, yeah. So my car might be totaled, which is so annoying because I just paid that off in August. And I was like, we're going to run this car to the ground. My older daughter is going to drive it in 6 years. Like this car is going to be the junker that you see on the street. And now I think it's a dunzo. But we're glad to be alive.
I mean, there's nothing like health issues and accidents that make you grateful for
just being here. Yeah. Speaking of cars, I couldn't help but notice walking into your home, you got a new car on your driveway.
I had a new car and it's exactly the same one that you have. And so if there have been any accusations of me copying your lifestyle, it is true.
Oh my God, you are so obsessed with me.
My kids go to the same preschool your kids went to. I moved into the same, not just neighborhood, but the same street you live on. And then I got the exact same car you have. But I swear I was at the dealer. I was like, can we get a different color, please? And my husband's like, it's fine. I was like, no, we cannot have the same color car as Leanne or else.
Oh my God. I was driving down the street and you're driving up the street and it was like I was looking in a mirror.
Yeah, actually, because I was thinking that. I was like, oh wait, and she has exact same glasses as me, the same shape. Everyone's going to think that I'm you.
I do think that the only saving grace of like differentiation between the two of us is that we don't necessarily dress the same.
Yes.
Right? Like I'm more of like a mom jean with like a knit. You know, and you're definitely more like street style. So I think that's the only thing that's helping people not be confused in this neighborhood.
I will say nobody has actually confused me for you.
That's true. Yeah. In fact, most people don't even know we know each other.
Oh, yes. When they find out, their minds are blown.
Because everybody knows you. So everybody who knows me knows I have a podcast and I have a partner, but they don't know it's you. And then they know you separately in the neighborhood.
In a different context.
Yes. But that one friend, I just saw her. We had a Secret Santa and she was like, oh my God, I didn't know Juliet was your podcast partner. I went great. I was like, yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, she added me on Instagram and I think it just blew her mind.
Yeah.
It was like world crashing.
I know. But
I was like, actually, she was the person that I knew before I knew anybody else.
I know. So if you could just be like a little less obsessed.
I'm sorry.
I mean, we're just joking that you're going to get the same like bars and a Thule box on top too. And it's just going to be all the same.
Well, gifts. Any good gifts? that came out of this holiday? Your in-laws always give good gifts, so I'm always curious what you got.
My mother-in-law, she was just in Singapore, and she bought me and the two girls a limited edition collab jacket from Uniqlo, and it's very cute. Oh. And I've been needing a down-style jacket, so that was good. And then she also, then we went shopping at like a small alley that's nearby with like boutiques after Christmas, and then there was a shop that I really love, and they had another down jacket, but it was like very hipster cute plaid, but it was like $350. And then so I just walked away, and then I just like wanted to show my husband. I was like, isn't this so cute? And then my mother-in-law was like, just buy it. I was like, oh no, like it's too expensive, I'm not gonna buy it. And she's like, I'll buy it for you.
Oh my god,
I was like, oh no, oh money, oh money, no, no, no.
Mother-in-law. Wow.
So I got two jackets for my mother-in-law this season, which was great. How about your Christmas? How did the stand-up steamer go with a husband?
I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't? Was it because I make fun of you?
So close to purchasing, and it was $300.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is this really where I should be spending my money? And funny enough, I went to my in-laws' house, and they had that exact steamer because they used to be in the garment industry. So I was so close to asking them if I could take it and just wrap it up, but I didn't. Maybe I'll do that next time. So instead, what I got my husband was glycolic acid for his feet. Because his feet are crusty. And
is it a balm?
No, it's you know, like it's like a liquid. It's a serum. I think you could use it on your face, on your body. But The Ordinary has one that's like $10. And it's a huge bottle. And I saw somebody on TikTok who said that she never gets pedicures anymore because, you know, many people go for all the cleanup. She's like, you put this glycolic acid on your feet after the shower, slather it with lotion, and it'll slough off all of the nasty, crusty stuff.
So it's like those baby feet,
yes,
sock.
Exactly.
Masks.
That's probably what is filled in there, but you use it regularly, kind of like you would as an acid on your face. And yeah, so he loved that. The worst part, though, is I was showing him the Christmas list on my spreadsheet because he does a lot of great things, but he does not do these presents.
Oh,
you
same.
Know?
I don't know one husband who actually does the shopping of gifts.
There was a meme that somebody told me about. Like, a lot of times the husband will be just as surprised as the kids as they open the present. Oh, what is that?
Oh, no, no, no. I was like, I had gifts that was one from mom, one from dad.
Oh.
And I handed it to my older one. I was like, this one's from dad. And my husband's face was of like, oh, what the hell is in there? I'm going to get in trouble. And she looks at him and she's like, oh my God, dad, thank you so much. How did you know I wanted this? He's like, no, I don't know. I just knew. God. I heard you talking about it.
The worst.
Took all the credit.
Yeah, I did not go that far, but I was showing him my spreadsheet. Here's all the things I'm getting for everyone in the family. And then it had his name. And he happened to see glycolic acid and a few other things. He's like, what's glycolic acid? It's like, oh no, it's ruined.
Are you gonna be throwing burning acid on my face? You saved yourself from the confusion of him opening the present and being like, what is this?
Right.
At least he prepped himself to open
exactly.
it and have a nice reaction.
Sorely disappointed. And that's really all I got him.
Oh, did he get you anything?
He got me a Dyson hairdryer.
Mm.
Very, very nice.
The hair dryer or the wrap?
The dryer.
Okay.
Because he told me I look like a hot mess most of the time and I need to dry my hair.
But wouldn't the wrap, maybe he doesn't know. But
I don't
wrap
think he
do
knows
both.
About the wrap. I think he just wants me to start with looking a little bit, you know, baby steps put together.
Yeah, a little bit.
I had made a comment once like, oh, I should get a hair dryer because the other one fizzed out. And I think that's why my hair just looks like this. So he picked up on that. But he did make a comment. He wants me to get it together this year.
It was not even hint, hint.
Yeah.
It was
straight up.
But that reminds me because last year you were just full of a scroll of goals.
Yes.
This time last year, every podcast we had, you're like, okay, and then another thing I'm going to do this year. And one of your scroll of goals were to take care of your hair.
Yes.
To do more with your hair.
And one of those goals was to grow more hair. Because I've just suffered from a lot of hair loss and have always had thin hair and I've been working on that. That's why the whole like hair oiling and the, you know, masking. And I think it's working. My hair does feel thicker.
It looks fuller right now.
It looks better, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
I was going to ask you if you got a haircut. in LA.
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Several people have complimented me on my hair, and I think it's all the greasy hair I've had in the last year.
So we scratched one off,
right?
Which was grow more hair.
Grow more hair, and now it's going to be dry my hair.
Dry your hair. And then maybe it'll have the effect of like a curling your hair.
Yeah. Maybe. You know, right? Do you dry your hair?
Yes.
Oh, you do? At night, like after a shower?
Yes, always, because it's a Chinese thing. Like, because I grew up as a swimmer too, and my mom is obsessed. Like, it's a Chinese thing. You should not.
Oh, because you'll get sick if you sleep with your hair wet.
Yes. Yeah. You should not sleep with your hair wet. You shouldn't go outside and get air blown. Right. Cold air blown on your wet head. Like, that is a big no-no in the whole Chinese thing. So I have been trained from a young age. Like, my mom was in there in the locker room with me, like, blow-drying my hair after every swim practice.
Wow.
Because she was so obsessed with that. I let my daughter walk around.
Do you? Yeah, I was going to ask. After swim practice. Do that to your daughter.
I am 100% not drying her hair after swim practice. There's not that many words my kids know in Mandarin. One of them is wazi, which is get your socks. And the other one is cui tou, which is blow dry your hair. That's all they know, because those are the two things I care about. Back to scroll of goals for New Year's. Do you have a scroll this year, or is it just like a nice short list like everybody else?
No, I have a scroll.
Okay. Not just the 3 to 4 bullets.
But I will say I feel really good that I've accomplished a lot of the goals that I had set last year. So it's just like more of, you know, I want to continue doing the things I was doing. And I have this new strategy that I implemented last year, where every calendar year is considered 4 years. So I just reassess after each quarter because, you know, the classic, oh, I set these goals and then by like March, you forget them, right? So I'm doing like a reanalysis or a resetting so that it becomes more manageable.
Do you have your SMART goals set? You know, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound KPIs that we all have to set for our work.
I also read a Harvard Business Review article about life strategy, just as we do in corporate strategy. You know, you think about, you know, similarly, the SMART goal setting for your corporation, you should be doing it for your life. So I've been working on that.
What you got on the list this year?
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. It's the same,
exercise,
right?
Yeah, same. You know, just being healthier. A big thing for me last year was to not get sick, because you remember how often I was getting sick.
You did well.
I got sick once last
year. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it all came down to sleeping.
Yeah. Sleeping and drinking water.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's about as exciting as it gets.
God, that's dry.
What else? I mean, I do have some other ones, but then I saw on TikTok, like, you shouldn't be talking about your goals to everyone because, you know,
But I thought there's like manifesting.
There is true. I don't know. I don't know who to believe at this point.
I don't think you should believe TikTok all the time. But then
I was on TikTok last night and my husband's like, you're just addicted to it. I said, but I just learned so much. And he's like, what have you learned?
I know you're always like, I don't do social media anymore. And I'm like, literally, you're on TikTok
all the time.
That is one of my, it's a stop doom scrolling at night.
Yes.
So much TikTok doom scrolling happens at night. And I read 3 books this break.
Oh.
And it felt so good. Northwoods, Buried Giant, and Circe, if anybody is interested. Mm. All 3, super different, very good. And it just felt like, oh, I should read at night instead of doom scrolling. Because actually my TikTok algorithm, again, changes all the time. But right now it's this like, and the lamp was different thing, you know, which is a bunch of people talking about how sad.
Dying. It's like either somebody in their family is getting sick.
Yeah. Or dying.
Maybe it's because you were in the hospital for so long and getting cheesecake. They were like, oh no, the lamp is looking different.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm like looking around for the lamp. So it's like actually very depressing because it's about people who like the last videos they have of them. Basically having a joyful time and then they realize later they're gonna die or whatever. I'm like, I can't. This is such a downer. So I just watch now on TikTok videos of Byun Woo Suk and Kim Hae-yoon from the two leads from Lovely Runner.
Are they dating?
No, but they were just at some Asian awards ceremony and they're sitting next to each other and they are just like laughing and chatting the entire time.
Oh my goodness.
All these TikTok videos are just like DeLulu, just like watching them, fan camming them. So I've just been
Why you sent me an article that said that Dispatch will not be revealing the couple, like a new couple. I guess they do that every
Yeah. Dispatch, the Korean tabloid, every year on New Year's Day.
Oh.
reveals, like basically outs.
Yeah.
An idol or celebrity couple that's been in hiding. And they've done that many years. I think they've skipped years because of like certain tragedies. But like IU and her boyfriend were outed 1 year. Son Ye-jin and Hyun-bin were outed 1 year. And I was looking forward to it, but they didn't do it. I think it's a Jeju accident. Yes. That...
Also tragic.
Oof.
There have been a lot of...
Right? Right? Doesn't it feel...
blowing up.
It feels really like kind of dark these
it
last
does. You're
week
right.
or two.
I was trying to avoid acknowledging those things, but you're right. There's been a lot of tragedies.
And the other thing I'm trying this year, which I've not tried before, is a dry January. A dry-ish January.
You've never done this?
Mm-mm. Because I'm like, why? Am I setting
myself
also, up?
Also, what is 1 month going to do?
I think it just like maybe you need it to remind yourself, oh, I could be clear-headed on the weekends and not feel like shit all the time. And the Surgeon General today just announced that they're going to be putting cancer warnings on alcohol.
What?
They've linked it to breast cancer. Yeah. They're basically
really?
Like, it used to be like, oh, some drinking is okay. Like moderate drinking is actually healthful and some wine. They're like,
yes.
No, none of it. You shouldn't
really?
Do it anymore. Yeah. I mean, like you could put a dead baby on cigarettes. People are still going to
still going to do it. Oh,
yeah.
For sure. And you're going to try to take alcohol away from Americans?
No way.
How dare you?
So I'm saying dryish because our friend is turning 50 and we're going to a nice, we're
with
going to a
Michelin
pairings. Restaurant. Yeah. So we got to break our
yeah.
fast for that.
Day. One weekend is fine. I've really stopped, like reduced my drinking. Partly because I was like trying to make all of these resolutions around being healthier and sleeping. And we went out for a friend's birthday recently. Remember?
Yes.
You're looking at
it was
me.
Like a holiday get together slash birthday.
Yeah, slash birthday. It, you know, it was more drinking than I do regularly.
And it was like open bar.
Yeah.
And
a lot
it was
of cocktails.
Really nice cocktails
yes.
too. So you're just, it just goes down like
yes.
water. And then you know what happened. I was like, what happened? Like, I was like, I drank the same cocktail all night. Granted,
right. Because I mean, I'm not going to mix.
Yeah. Yeah. Granted, I drank five of them, I think.
Right.
My husband was like, well, how did you drink them? I was just like, I don't know. I sat in the same place and drinks just kept
showing up. Yeah, people would just ask you, what are you drinking? They would hand it to you because it was open.
Yes.
So there's like no.
So generous.
Yeah. Everyone is getting me a drink.
Oh, don't get up. I'll get it for you. It's on me.
Yeah.
And but the shots at the end killed us.
Oh, I.
Somebody
oh,
you had
said,
gone home.
Come get a shot. And I was like, okay, haha. I went over and I just, maybe this is me in my new wise age. I was like, this is not a good idea. And then I pretended to take it. And then I was like, I needed to go home to relieve the babysitter anyway.
Yeah.
But normal me would have taken the shot and then gone home.
Right. 100%.
And then been even more sick or, you know, not felt good.
Oh, no. I would have taken my Yeti out from my bag and
right.
then poured it in the Yeti.
Another one,
take it home.
Yes. But I was like, you know what? I really don't need this.
I know.
I don't need this. And you know what I think it is? It's also because I didn't pay for it. It feels like.
Not a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Throw it down the drain. This
it's a sunk
shelf.
Cost, basically,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So then I felt so good. But I still woke up feeling shitty. Like, ugh, why did I drink that? Why did I drink so much?
I know. But it was a fun night.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple there that you know that are avid listeners of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And they came up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, hi, Juliet.
Oh, like we know them?
You know them,
oh.
But I don't know them. The wife was just talking and then the husband looks over and he goes, just so you know, she's fangirling so hard right now. She doesn't want to look stupid, but she's so excited to talk to you.
Aww.
And it was a real like moment of, oh God, people know everything about me.
Yes. No, they are early listeners.
Yes.
And yeah, everybody knows way too much about our lives at this point, but that's all right. What are we... What's so exciting? You want to know about our stand-up steamers? Okay, so, you know, like kind of a rough start to the year. What we do have to look forward to in 2025 is there are a lot of new Korean shows and dramas coming up that are very exciting. So we've got, obviously, Squid Game is going on right now. I think everyone and their mom has already binged it. We're going to binge it and review it next week all in one episode.
Have you watched it at all?
I've been watching it with Korean subtitles, which means I can't understand anything because my father-in-law has been watching it at volume 70.
Oh, so it's in Korean with the Korean subtitles. Oh, dear.
Yes. So I'm just watching the physical.
It's like watching a silent film.
Exactly. It's like Charlie Chaplin
yeah,
up there. So I have seen some of the things, but I don't know actually what's going on.
I always know when something is a global phenomenon because my parents are watching it. Uh-huh. Like Culinary Class Wars. They're like, oh yeah, we're watching that. Last night they were like, oh, we're watching Squid Games. So, and as I had mentioned to you over text, I was in Orange County where there are a lot of Koreans. And everywhere I went, I would either talk about it with somebody or they would ask me, are you guys going to recap it? Or I would overhear a conversation with somebody like, oh, you watched the whole thing? Oh, you know, and then they would give their own analysis. And one guy overheard at a children's playground gym, indoor play gym. And he's like, oh, yeah, I was listening to a podcast about the show, you know. So I was like, this is, people do this.
People like it. Yes. That's here. And then Jan 14, we're getting our Singles Inferno season 4.
Has it been a year? I think it has been a year because I think I remember it was coming out very close to Christmas time last year. But I can't believe.
I know.
It's been a year.
I'm so excited. Then in January, we have Yi Min-ho and Gong Hyo-jin in When the Stars Gossip. That looks really good. That's coming on Netflix. Chef in My Fridge, Edward Lee's going to be on it.
Yeah. What?
Uh-huh. I mean, we just have some big stars next year. Kim Woo-bin and Bae Suzy are together. IU, Park Bo-gum, like Gong Yoo and Song Hye-kyo are going to be together. There's going to be a lot of good dramas next year. So I'm very excited.
Wow.
We should, before we get too excited about 2025's dramas, finish up the one we've been watching, Mr. Plankton. We have episodes 9 and 10, our two final episodes. It feels so long ago now that we were watching. I was rewatching it last night. I was like, what's going on?
I had forgotten their names.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been for me.
So we left off episode 8. Hyunju. No, it's not Hyunju. Oh my God. I didn't even have his name. Who's Hyunju? I'm just making shit up. Hejo collapsed after trying to grab the wig off of his potential father, number three.
CEO of a pharmaceutical company.
Yes. So now we're starting the episode with him laying in the hospital. He's unconscious. Jimmy is by his side. Jimmy hears his brain tumor diagnosis and is like, right. All those times he like fell down out of nowhere.
Blood coming out of his nose.
Yeah, which is like in crippling pain. Huh. Maybe something was wrong. Fucking dummy.
She's so dumb.
I mean, we don't like have to go over the plots of 9 and 10. We really do get just a lot of scenes of them kind of wrapping up loose ends. They're traveling around in the car.
Yes. Everyone is finally grappling with their real feelings and their destiny. Yeah. You know, they have been fighting it for so long.
Yeah. And in the middle of it, we do get a lot of hijinks of these two young people who are just have kind of not lived by the rules of society for a long time, and they just kind of do what they want to do, and it's very fun to watch. So I'd say like the most ridiculous thing is, you know, they're in the hospital. Jamie isn't there when Hejo almost dies. His heart stops.
Cardiac arrest. But she's out trying to fulfill his desire, which was to get the DNA of this pharmaceutical company's CEO.
So that he could be rich and also know his father.
And know who his father is.
So it comes from a place of just like that's what a kid thinks. I'm going to fulfill your wish.
Yes.
Instead of being by his bedside where Bong Noonim is to actually comfort him in his last moments, right? So it's definitely a juxtaposition of how differently she and a Hejo think versus like kind of mature adults.
Yeah, very kind of instant gratification, very short-term thinking.
Yeah. So you think she learns this lesson? No, she does something even crazier.
Yeah, even I was like, she's crazy. Well, I was thinking she is like a child. Like she just thinks, oh, I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to try to make him happy. Not let's try to save his life and keep him at a place where they'll take care of him.
Yeah, the guy's on oxygen. He's IVs in him. She remembers his other dying wishes to die under a dazzling blue sky. So she unplugs him, puts her on his back, and then breaks him out of the hospital. This would not happen at UCLA Medical Center. This would not fly.
Well, she would not have taken him out. She'd be like, I'm sorry, you're going to stay here as long as we possibly can because I'm going to eat every single meal.
There's some really good bang at the cafeteria.
I bet Korean hospitals have good food.
Oh, I bet. Well, every time hospital playlist, the cafeteria, they're always scooping like really delicious looking food.
Yes, like rice with soup and katsu.
But like to walk into a cafeteria at a hospital and smell kimchi and Duanzhang, like that just doesn't feel right to me.
To you.
Yeah.
I remember when I was growing up, you know, we just ate Korean food all the time. And a friend came over. She's like, oh, your house smells like fish.
Ooh.
And I couldn't understand. And I
you
was
have
like,
nose blindness.
Yeah. I was like, what? I don't smell it. But yeah, I'm sure for anybody who doesn't eat that on the daily, it's like, what is this?
Well, my older daughter, I was like, oh, you are really Korean. She'll walk into like doenjang jjigae smell, like my mother-in-law will be making it. And she's like, it smells so good.
Oh, I was my like, gosh. The girl Korean. Has my heart.
I know. He's like totally unconscious. He's just thumping around on the ground. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. Like he's just this like dead body flopping around. The only realistic thing in this scene was that her phone only had 1% battery.
Oh my, that is so you. Literally you. Always, I have no battery.
You know, like in TV shows and movies, it's always like the magical phones that always have, no one's ever charging their phone. No one has a battery pack. She only has 1%. It's the only thing that actually made the scene work for me. Of course, he wakes up and then they start their journey. Just basically kickstarts the last two episodes for us.
Meanwhile, Oh-hung, our tiger, our pathetic ex-fiance.
What is that? Why?
He's having his own rebirth.
But they couldn't even afford him a little dignity in these scenes.
And what was his outfit? So he's dejected. He goes to a phone store, asks them to, you know, delete all the photos of her.
These photos are etched in my brain. Literally, it's one photo shoot in a flower bed.
Yeah. And then he goes to a club and he looks so lame.
And is very unhappy. He's chugging a Grey Goose. As one does.
Yeah, as one does. I mean, that's believable. I would do that. And then he starts like flopping around. He goes, Jamie Opsa, meaning it's not fun, but that's also Jamie's name, which means Jamie's not here.
I mean, less of him would be great. There are some touching scenes in the last two episodes. There is this scene where I literally wrote Hyunju all over this place. In my notes, the man's name is Hejo. Okay. We have a limbo scene. Hejo and his little sister are on the sand dunes and he's basically having this like end of life kind of moment. He explains the plankton.
Yes.
We get the exposition of the plankton. He says plankton are shimmering, floating in the sea, reflecting sunlight. They're the lowest creatures in the ocean.
But you can't live without them because they're the thing that allows the ecosystem to keep running.
I think they're trying to position Hejo as plankton, but he doesn't actually fit that bill.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, oh, they produce oxygen. It allows the ecosystem to survive. I'm like, what have you done for anyone else?
Yes. He's an agent of chaos, actually.
Yes, right. I don't find him to be a sympathetic character, really, other than the fact that he's dying. But even then, he's sort of inviting the death. I don't think that I didn't feel a lot of sadness towards him.
Yeah, I think in other dramas, people realize they want to live a lot earlier than he did, and they don't run towards death. He runs towards death.
Right.
Or is he running away from like the things that are too hard for him? Mm. Because I think one of the scenes that I found really interesting was Hejo and Jamie, you know, they leave the hospital, they run away, they don't tell Bong Noonim where they're going.
Yes.
And finally, you know, all these circumstances happen, they come back. And Bong Noonim is like, where have you been? Why couldn't you call? And he says really mean things to her. He's like, I'm just a dog you picked up off the street. Why do you care? Why should I call you? He just pushes people away. Mm-hmm. I think the other scene where he does it is when he finds Jamie's mom, birth mother.
Yes.
And he just leaves her there.
Right.
He can't stand to be left, so he'll leave before he can be left. He'll say the mean words before he can be hurt. He's going to leave Jamie at this house before she can pick this mother over him.
Huh.
Because that whole scene, I was like, why would he leave her?
That did not make sense. Yeah. But also then, he didn't have to take her there.
But I think he wanted to give her this last.
So there's a part of him that wants to do good.
Yes.
But then can't face the consequence of it.
Right.
Yeah, but that was also a really tragic scene because then he drops her off, leaves her at this random house because he has found her mother. And we think it's going to be kind of a beautiful coming together, but actually the mother rejects her.
So the mother recognizes her.
For sure recognizes her.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she has her own family.
Because
now.
Right before that scene, Hejo says to Jamie, oh, well, you know, the lackey, he told me when you see your family, when you see the person, you'll just know instantly. Mm. Jimmy and this woman have that like recognition as soon as they lay eyes on each other.
Jimmy does a lot of scream crying in these two episodes. I guess she's angry at this birth mother, but she just scream cries at her. I was like, girl, if you want this mom to take you in, stop scream crying at her. She'd be like, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Shake your hand. You know, like the scream crying. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't take you in my house either, yeah. You psycho.
And then so she's abandoned again.
Episode 9 brings everyone back together. Pathetic fiance's mom is in Seoul looking for her son. Bong Noonim was looking for Jimmy, looking for Haejo. They get all their confrontations out. Bong and Haejo have nice heart-to-hearts. Jimmy tells Haejo she loves him. They all end up playing drinking games together. It's everybody he loves now in one room coming together. What pathetic fiance is doing there, I don't know.
Well, he just has nobody. And his mom released him.
Right.
Because he had been trying to get off the course that she had set for him. And when she finally found him, I think she had a reckoning, like, I have to let this guy go.
There was that scene after Haejo leaves Jimmy. He pulls over and then pathetic fiance gets in his car. I thought he was a ghost.
I thought it was a dream. Yes.
Oh, there's a Kishin.
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 But they bond together through that trip.
Haejo is shown some kindness, which he just like laps up like a baby. And then pathetic fiance sees another way to live.
I think maybe the best scene of this drama so far was Haejo. He left everybody again and he is wandering the streets of Seoul late at night. And he sees this shadow of a person and he runs towards it. It's the same like instant recognition. So I thought, oh, it's going to be the fourth candidate dad. But in fact, it turned out to be his original, the father that raised him.
Right.
They hug and he says, Appa.
The dad getting hugged, he's holding a leather briefcase.
Yeah.
And he does the K-drama thing where he
drops it
out of shock.
His eyes wide open.
When you get hugged in Korea, you can't possibly hug and hold something in your hand, a person in your hand at the same time. I found this very moving. Did you cry?
I did not.
Did you cry at all in these episodes? We can talk about the end as separate.
I did not.
You did not even cry at the end.
No, you cried?
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll get to it. I cried at this. And this is just a boy who wanted to be loved by his dad.
I mean, isn't that all of us? That I think is a core of the story.
Yeah. Is a person who's just looking for his way back home. It's a fitting end. I feel like they only had 10 episodes, so they couldn't get to dad number 5. You know, like they ran out of time for all the dads. But it was a beautiful end to that journey for the father. And then it was the end.
Everyone has found their destiny.
Yeah.
What they were meant for.
Yep.
Including Ohung, who became a wandering YouTuber. His mother started using flavor enhancers.
Has a new son.
Yeah.
Picked up from America. Who, was he wearing glasses at the end?
He had taken his glasses off.
Yeah, finally sees the sun. We even see Bong Noonim and the lackey.
They're possibly gonna hook up soon.
They're definitely doing business together. Haejo and Jamie go around the country. This is their last ride. They're camping in their car, the beautiful Jeep. They wander upon a snowy field. It's now the first scene we saw in the show.
Episode one.
Episode one. Haejo falls over. There's blood on the snow. He's lying, looking up at the dazzling blue sky. Jamie's running, cursing him. In another show, she'd be coming like, oh my God, I love you. Don't do this. She's like, you motherfucker. I'm going to kill you if you die. I want to live, he says. I want to love you longer. You're the last scene of my life. I guess I had a pretty good life. I'm like crying just reading
really?
It. Yes.
I don't know. Maybe my heart has gotten
crusted.
I need some glycolic acid on that heart.
So I watched. My husband was like, don't cry while you're recording. And I was like, I wouldn't. I'm like literally tearing.
Are
you? Reading it. Yeah. But I had watched these two episodes before break because I just wanted to see it end. And I didn't take any notes. And I cried a lot. And now I watched it again last night and I was crying with like snot.
What?
Yes. At the end.
What?
Yes. I mean, also, I was like, he dies? I couldn't believe it. Did you think he was going to die?
I did not think he was going to die because very few Korean dramas end so tragically. There's always like an unrealistic happy ending.
Oh, like some miracle.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just really beautiful the way they depict his death of he finally realized this boy who's been running towards death. He actually realized, oh, actually, I want to live. And it was really fun. I did really love you. And I was like, oh. And it was just like, and she's like smiling and she's like, I love you. It's just like a beautiful send off. I just cried. I'm crying now.
I don't know. I don't have an explanation for myself other than I don't think I connected that much with the characters. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't have a lot of sympathy for him. So, you know, yes, he was on his deathbed, but it almost didn't feel real to me because he would find a way out every single time.
It feels like you're more moved by parents and children and grandparents.
That's true. You're right. I do cry a lot when there's like a grandparent involved. Maybe I have a lot more like filial guilt.
Yes.
But when it comes to someone confessing their love, like meh.
Or on their deathbed looking up at the person who has brought them the most joy in their life and you're like, okay, move on.
It doesn't resonate with me.
It was a fitting ending. This drama really surprised us all the way till the end.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It was, I think, a fun, a little careless drama.
Yeah. Ten episodes, went down easy.
Yeah. Overall, enjoyable.
So if we look back on 2024, of all of the dramas and shows that we watched, which one was your favorite?
Lovely Runner.
Yes.
Had to be.
You know, it was Time Magazine's number one Korean drama of the year.
What? Mm-hmm.
It's gotten a lot of like number one placements on dramas of the year or international show of the year.
Wow.
So that was your favorite drama.
That was my favorite drama.
Okay. But of everything we covered last year.
We covered a lot, by the way.
We sure did.
I had meant to post about our Spotify Wrapped, but it just escaped me. One of our best performing episodes was a Singles Inferno one. I think for me, it was Culinary Class Wars.
Oh, then you'll really love Chef in My Fridge because Edward Lee's going to be on there soon.
I'm excited. Should we recap that?
I think we should just recap the one episode. I don't know if I can watch a bunch of rando Korean chefs in their fridges.
What about you?
I mean, yeah, Lovely Runner is my go-to. That's hands down. If you look at a lot of people's top 10, though, I mean, obviously Queen of Tears is on there, but Marry My Husband, people really liked that one last year. She's making a face.
What? I want to erase that from my memory.
2024 was awesome. Thank you all so much for being with us on this journey. I think the fact that there are so many good shows coming up in 2025 makes me excited to keep going on the podcast and seeing you every week and doing this. So,
one thing we reflected on our last episode, but we should reiterate now as we enter a new year, is we have some very committed and lovely fans that go beyond our friend circle.
Yes. So beyond the six people that we have.
There's a few degrees of separation with many of these people, but even not. And it shocks me every time. Mm-hmm. And we get some really lovely notes. One of our fans commented about how we are like the bright spot in her week every week.
Yeah.
And those things really keep us going. Even my parents were asking me, do you still do your podcast? Because I mentioned it, you know, a long time ago. And I was like, oh, yeah. And they asked my sister-in-law. She's like, oh, I listen every week.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're like, what? But it.
My sister-in-law also does. And she's like, hey, don't talk shit about me this week. I was like, no promises.
Your sister-in-law is a great sport, but she's going to be fodder for our podcast for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we just wanted to express our appreciation because it really keeps us going.
Yes. So thank you all. We appreciate you. We look forward to 2025. Next week, we will be recapping all 7 episodes of Squid Game at once.
I'm excited to binge.
Yes. I think we are doing it just because the only way to watch it is to binge it, it feels like. Do you remember much from season one? Are we needing to do a recap?
I may have to do that because it is hazy. I don't know if you need all the context, though.
I don't think so either. But we will see Jamie again. Well, Jamie was in season one.
Oh, Jamie from Mr. Plankton.
Yes.
Yes.
So next week, we will be doing all of Squid Game season 2. So binge that with us. Be ready for next week. And then the week after, we're coming back with Singles Inferno season 4. So that's our schedule. We usually don't have anything lined up and we're just flying by the seat of our pants, but actually we have lined up things for the next 2 months. Yes. Okay, everyone, happy 2025. Be well, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.